All right, we're going to get started this morning on a lesson that I wanted to offer a preamble to. I've decided not to. I want everyone to understand that here at the Resurrection Baptist Church, we teach B-I-B-L-E, Bible, Bible. We like opinions, we like thoughtful discourse, but we teach the B-I-B-L-E. Paul introduced us to the book of Romans, which is B-I-B-L-E. It is one of the most heavily doctrinal books of all the Bible. And he shared with us last week that the gospel was important, because the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. This week, we're going to pick up in verse 18 of that same chapter 1, God's wrath against mankind. Paul, as you know, last week, you were introduced to him writing to the church at Rome. Told you he was writing to a church that was in the capital of all advanced civilization. It was the capital, it was the headquarters for the most advanced nation on earth. Roads, highways, architecture, the arts. These folk were in a city that had it going on. Somebody say going on.
Going on.
You know, there's some cities that I just would prefer not to live in. And I've decided, Steve, that I don't want to live in those cities that are considered going on. They got it going on. Because let me tell you what the going on city looked like. The going on city looked like this. It did have fine museums and great architecture. And you guys know by the Roman roads, not the scriptural ones, that Rome had built one of the most advanced highway systems, which it was for the benefit of the kingdom, because when the fullness of time was come, when everything was just right, when all the roads and highways were right, when the culture was right, God sent his son. And Paul last week wrote to the people and said, I really wanted to come to Rome. And I told you the reasons he wanted to come, wanted to go to Rome. But politically, some would say that the Roman government was very astute, much of what we've developed over the years patterned after that, but it was very corrupt. And it was corrupt for the very reasons that we're going to see. As a matter of fact, politically, Nero was in charge, and Nero was a pervert. Nero, yes, I said it. Nero was a pervert. He was morally and ethically bankrupt. And Nero did what he wanted to do. He said what he wanted to do. Every freakish idea that came in his mind, he entertained it and he did it. That was the political situation. In the church situation, Paul was very highly favorable of the church at Rome and how they had tried to establish that church there and what they were doing. But Paul writes to them, and then today, after you listening to last week's discourse, I know some of you said, oh, Paul, pull up. What? How do we go from... I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, and then immediately launch in on what the issue was. Because as our author suggests, Steve, that if you ask, even if I ask the people, the diligent Sunday school students here, family church school attendees here, ask them, what is the greatest problem, and we'll say, in America today? Many will say, the greatest problem is that, the racial divide, the economic divide, the political discombobulation. The political discord, you know, shut up. It is not. The greatest problem in America, the greatest problem in the world today is the subject that we're going to talk about. It is in fact sin. See, because you can't talk about salvation without talking about sin. And Maurice Hayes, I saw you. I'm going to need your help because they won't believe me. Terry Moten, please unmic also as we start this discourse out of verse 18, verse 32. And I want you to be prayerful as we go over this particular lesson. And I want to point out to everybody that the subject today is sin. That means your sin, my sin, their sin, everybody's sin. Because Paul begins right here in verse 18 of chapter 1, and he concludes in chapter 3, verse 23, Minister Brown. He goes from verse 1:18 to chapter 3:23, telling us about the state of sin. And this is how he begins it. Maurice Hayes, if you would, read for me two verses, please.
Yes, sir. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them.
Now, Paul says here, the gospel is needed because sin is so deceitful. See, you need truth. You need to know what God's standards are. You need to know the word of God because sin has, is, and will continue to deceive mankind. Let me show you right here in verse 13. He says, God's wrath, in other words, God's feeling, God's righteous anger, Deacon Newsom, is being revealed for all the unrighteousness and the ungodliness. In other words, all the things that are against God, all the things that are against man, God says that man has legitimately suppressed the truth about who God is and what he can do. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. He says, the reason why you need the gospel, the reason why you need the power of God to salvation is that men, Brother Bogan, men and women have suppressed the truth about the true nature of God. Verse 19, you heard Moses say it. He says, because that which they was known and manifest to them, God hath showed unto them. In other words, instinctively, God has revealed himself to mankind. Every man, boy, child, every man, boy, girl, woman born to this planet instinctively knows the creator. As a matter of fact, this is a good plug, Steve, and I know you gave it for evangelism. You still got time to sign up because in evangelism, we teach a block, Sister Mill, called general revelation. And that's what this is this morning. Matter of fact, those of you that are in the class, you just take notes today, and you've got about at least five test questions that are going to come out of the lesson today. It says that God has already made himself known to everybody that has ever been born. Instinctively, you come out of the womb, and you know one thing. You didn't get out of that womb by yourself. You didn't get in that womb by yourself. You know that some one, something higher than you got you here. You look at the sun, the moon, the stars, and you know one thing, you didn't make them. Instinctively, Paul says here, you know God, and you have tried to suppress that truth, and you've suppressed that truth to support your unrighteous deeds. Oh, Bogan, somebody better help me. Maurice, read verse 20, because they don't believe that I'm talking about general revelation here. Verse 20 says what? This is how deceitful sin is. Verse 20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. My.
In other words, God himself writes through the personality of Paul and says that the invisible things, the things you can't even see with the naked eye, show you there is a God. The invisible things, let alone the things that you can see. You can't see wind. It's invisible. But God is manifesting. God is talking. Every time you feel the wind on your face, every time you observe the trees swaying to and fro, you know one thing. You didn't invent, you didn't create, you didn't make wind. Mm-hmm. It could only be made, it could only be created by someone greater and smarter than you. Paul says here that sin is so deceitful, it makes you ignore general revelation. It makes you not even acknowledge the things that you feel, let alone what you see. Paul says here that these things are in fact invisible. He says, but they are seen, though they are invisible, they are seen by the things that are visible. In other words, and the things that he's talking about all the things, all the qualities, all the essential nature and characteristics of God are revealed from heaven by the things you do see. Mm. He says that sin is so deceitful, it won't even let you believe what you see with your natural eye.
No.
Sin is deceitful. And Paul says, you need the gospel. We need the gospel. Every man born of a woman needs the gospel. Mo, verse 21. I'm still just dealing with the deceitfulness of sin. 21, Mo.
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Because they know God. He already told you in 19, instinctively they know God. But after knowing God, they wouldn't give him glory. They would not give him glory in their deeds. And the most obvious thing was the fact that they were not grateful. You think about folk who can get up every day, exhale air, inhale air, move with a reasonable portion of health and strength.
Amen.
And not say, thank you, God. They are not acknowledging the one who's able, who woke you up this morning.
Amen.
Sin will have you believing that you got up on your own power. Mm. Oh, I am hot this morning.
Yes, who's running?
Pillow, Linda, if we get cut off, we run out of time, just cut me off because I'm going to still keep teaching. Because we've got to understand what our dilemma is that sin deceives us. It deceives us so much. The things that we don't see, we don't believe. The things that we see, we don't believe, and the God that we know, we don't even give him thanks. We are so ungrateful. When you find folk that are ungrateful, you find folk that are not acknowledging God, that they've come to the point in their life. And you think about America, you think about this world, that people don't even, as a matter of fact, that folk, you observe them in your restaurants when they opened up all the restaurants yesterday. They running back. How many of them did you see? Lord, thank you for letting us get back in the restaurant today. Right. If you were out there and you observe them, how many did you observe? This is in a country where 31% of all the people, Steve, say that they are Christian. Mm. But sin got us so fooled, we can't even give thanks to God. Mo, take me on out with 22. Mm.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
See, to the point, sin has deceived them to the point that they think that they're wise. Everybody in your government thinks that they are smarter than everybody else. That's why they got discourse. Oh, we'll talk about it a bit later. Sin has deluded them into believing that they are wise. And in fact, they are fools. Verse 22 says it right there. It says, professing themselves to be wise, but they became fools. You know, an interesting word that you guys know, I'm a shade tree mechanic. Wordsmith. I'm going to leave the mechanic into Steve. But I do like to play with words. But the interesting thing about that word in the Greek Hebrew Bible is that it's M-R-A-N. And it's the same word that we get moron from. In other words, if you deny the existence of God, the word of God is right. You're a fool. You are a moron. You think you're wise, but you're just a fool. Sin will deceive you into believing that. Terry Moten.
And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things.
You are so smart. You are so wise. Here's what you did. You changed the glory of God. You changed the recognition that is due God. An incorruptible, uncorruptible God into an image of man, birds, beasts, and creeping things. You're so smart that you go get a bird to be your God. A bird that you made and did not make you. But you're smart. And you bow to the image. You bow to the bird. You bow to the four-legged beast. And let me tell you, don't try to get away from this, because we got those same four-legged creatures and birds that are still around that we use as idols. And some of them, the idols that we have, don't even have feet. You know, the idols of our jobs, the idols of our positions, the idols of our prestige, the idol of our titles, the idols of our perceived power. Those are idols. Children, wives, husbands, they can all become idols. And so here's what Paul moved into in verse 23. He says, sin is not only deceitful, sin has a distorting power. Sin has the power to make you believe that something that you have to carry around is your God. Something you have to sit on the mantle and dust off is your God. Terry, in verse 24.
Therefore, the God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves.
Now, We in some heavy territory right now. It says, the distorting power of sin is that sin will cause God to turn you over to uncleanliness. In other words, you want to live in the pigsty? Go there. You want to dishonor your bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God says, go there. That's what sin brought on. That's what sin in the garden did. It let us now determine where we're going to live. The garden ain't good enough. Let's go wallow in our filthiness. That's the distorting power of sin. That's the power. Sin will make you do some foolish stuff. Give me one more verse, Terry, because I'm trying to watch eyes here, and it's tough this morning.
Because they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
You know what? I really like the King James rendering of that particular Bogan. Unmic right quick. Unmic right quick. And I just want you to read the first five words, Bogan.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie.
Now, see, you notice Brother Bogan read that and he says, who changed in it. See, that's a flow of the King James thing. But you know what? As I got to that, Sister Mill, you know what I did? I changed that who into a real interrogative, an interrogative. And I asked the question simply, who changed? Tell me who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's the power of sin. The power of sin is that it will make you disbelieve the facts, the truth about God, and believe a lie. Oh, we talk about, you know, in America these last few years about what kind of truth it is, false truth and false news and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you one thing: the facts are the facts, and that's a ploy of the devil. Is that to take that which is truth and convert it to a lie. And they'll have you believing a lie, and that lie will make you do foolish things. Let me tell you, I'll depart just for a minute, because I'm really talking to saved folk. I'm talking to folk who should know the word of God and who are charged with carrying the word of God. But I'll depart here just to be political. When you preach a lie, when you teach a lie, when you say it over and over and over, it'll make you do foolish things. Now, recently, in the last few days, down in one of Steve Harmon's favorite states, they have decided to pass legislation that would close the polls early on election day, and it would stop voting on Sundays, because this will bring integrity to the voting process. So you would have to believe that there was a maximum amount of corruption in the voting process on Sundays and on between the polls close at 7. Now, between 6 and 7, that's when all the corruption happened. When at 6 and 7, there are more eyes on the voting process probably than any other time of the day. But you see, when you repeat a lie will make you act foolish. And so the only time there was corruption was on Sunday. right after people got out of church. Mm-hmm. That's the only time there was corruption. So we need to stop voting on that, because a lie will make you act foolish. Because a lie is sin. To lie is to sin. Sin has a distorting power. Brother Terry, you still with me? Who changed the truth of God to make it a lie and worship and serve a creature rather than the one who is the creator? Brother Terry?
For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Mm-hmm. Likewise, gave up. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I know how it is. You want to get the whole truth out and as quickly as you possibly can. But it's all right. Verse 26 is good. He says, and this is the reason why God acted the way he has acted. With righteous indignation, he has turned you over to yourself. You don't have to fight adversaries. Just let them keep on lying. They'll destroy themselves. These folk that have tried to subvert the God-given rights of fellow human beings, I'm here to tell you, they will destroy themselves, because sin has that distorting power. It's sin. You don't have to worry about them. You pray for them. You don't have to fight them and contest them and debate with them. What you need to do is keep your eye on the prize and know sin when you see it. Know that it is very deceitful. Know that it has a distorting power. That's what you know. Now, Terry, verse 26 says, and God just kind of abandoned you. He turned you over.
And the men likewise.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, y'all didn't hear it. They didn't hear it, Steve. Matter of fact, don't block their mic. If they want to contest this, don't block their mic. It says that God gave them up into their own affections. Terry, you read that right?
Yes.
God turned them over to their own affection. In other words, whatever, it's your thing. Just go do what you want to do. I'm turning you over to yourself, because if you think you can live this life that I gave you better than the one who created the life, I'm turning you over. And so he turned them over to their natural affections. And when God turns you over to your natural affections, you are in a world of trouble. Because let me tell you, your natural affections will cause you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You folk have thinking that, oh, you know what? Terry Moten is reading that, and surely he must be reading that wrong. Because, you know, if it feels good, the Lord gave me these feelings, I should be able to express these feelings. I say no. I double dog dare you to say yeah. It is no. When God turns you over, it is natural for man to be a sinner. Sister Kendall used to put it this way. Y'all watch me on the other. Man has a bent towards sin. He has a propensity. He has a proclivity toward sin. He has a propensity toward his natural affections. And what's natural is it has been distorted. It was distorted when Adam took of the fruit in the garden. But you think you're smart. You think that if it feels good, it's right to do it. You think they think they James Ingram. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. That's what your natural affections will have you do. Your natural affections will have you do it. Because remember, they're talking to a nation whose president or whose ruler, whose emperor is Nero. This guy, Nero, it's fact. Nero was one of 15 emperors of Rome. Do you realize that 14 of them had an unnatural propensity? They practiced homosexuality. As a matter of fact, Nero was married to a man. And as a matter of fact, practiced on a daily basis these baths with young boys. He's a pervert. Come on, guys. But you know what? He ain't the baddest cat in the plant. Because you and I, when we yield to our natural affections, we're no better than Nero. Because we're not here to talk about people's sin. We're here to talk about the power of the gospel and that the power that sin has over men who are unregenerated. Oh, yeah. Verse 27, Terry. They're ready to go to 27 now. We're out of time, likewise, but go to 27.
And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error.
When God gave them up. It says, whenever you take God out of the equation, there is a vacuum and anything can come in. So when you guys think that this is the worst nation in the world, this is the worst time, you know, people are this and people will do that. This ain't no new game. This is the same old game. This is just a new twist on an old game.
Yes, sir.
These folk been running game ever since the Garden of Eden. Man left to himself will do anything. Men left to themselves will abandon that which was created for a man to do. Women left to themselves will abandon that which only they were supposed to do. In other words, God created a function and sin perverted it. That means you're subject to do anything when you don't know God. When you don't obey the tenets of God, you'll do anything. And so don't come telling me, ooh, that's so bad. It's so bad that those people are doing that. Any sin that you do, is that distasteful to God? Don't just look at Deacon Sneed's sin. Ooh, and certainly don't look at Steve's sins and Joe Richardson's sin. Don't look at their sin and talk about, well, I don't do that. Hey, you may not do that, but you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because God has turned you over. God has taken away his hand and said, I'm not going to violate your will. If you want to go out and do something stupid, go out and do it. And it is, he's already said, it is stupid to do it. All right. Well, y'all wouldn't believe Terry. You wouldn't believe Mo. I'm going to ask the membership champion, one of the membership champions, Joe Richardson. Would you and Mike and Joe Richardson on his anniversary? I want to hear his voice. Verse 28 says what, Joe?
Verse 28 reads, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
God ain't going to keep fooling with y'all. God says, you know that sin is deceitful. You know it has distorting power, but sin is depravity at its highest level. Do you realize that Nero and his boys during this time, Steve, the highest form of love was considered homosexuality. The second highest form of love was bisexuality. These facts, read them for yourself. Read them for yourself. The lowest form of love was what we call straight heterosexual encounters. That was the lowest form. You were considered a prude if you practice it. You tell me that God hasn't turned you over to a reprobate mind? You tell me, America, you tell me, resurrection, that God hasn't turned us over and just let us do whatever we want to do? Because the standard is there. And sin is simply ignoring the standard. That's why you need the gospel. You need the gospel because sin is deceitful. Sin has a distorting power. And sin is depravity at its greatest level. Because it's against God. He showed you right there in the very first scripture. He says it's against unrighteousness, ungodliness, unrighteousness, those things that are against God and those things that are against mankind. So when you look at your news and talk about, ooh, these people sure doing some crazy stuff. These some crazy people around here. When you lie, that's depravity. When you do anything that misses the mark of God's holy and righteous standard. So don't tell me, oh, them people do this. I would never do that. You don't do that, but you do this. Understand what sin is. Your sin may not be my sin. My sin may not be your sin, but it's all sin in God's eye. And see, your opinion doesn't count because, you know what, Steve, Mr. Superintendent, I wish you had chimed in on some of the other classes, the ones that have the small group in their discussion. They're getting, I can guarantee you, there's some people that say, oh, no, I just don't believe that the word meant that. Does anybody not understand what I just said? Did I say anything that's not printed? Did I just simply repeat in a different form what was read by Brother Mo, Brother Terry, and Brother Joe? Sin will have you believe that you're okay. My sin is okay. What I do is okay. God's going to smile and wink at me. God is smiling on my sin, but he's going to come down on Linda. He's going to come down on Bogan. He ain't going to let Bobby Key get away with it. He's just going to wink at me and Steve because we cute. We got it going on. We serve a holy and righteous God. He sets the standard. His word sets the standard. You don't set the standard. I'm going to break your heart, and I got to go. Do you realize I was torn up by this week? You know, guys, I've always dealt with the stats about, you know, one of the ones that, and I've been meaning to talk about updating, 3%, only 3% of the world believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived, died, and was resurrected. Although 31% of the world call themselves Christians. Of the 7.5 billion people that on planet Earth, 2.7 billion are Christian, call themselves Christians. In the church, Sister Pillow, 25% of every preacher that stands in a pulpit in America, y'all get this. This is why we're in trouble. Every preacher that stands in the pulpit in America, I mean, not every preacher, 25% of every preacher, 25% of them believe it is more important to talk about, preach about physical needs than Jesus Christ. Yeah, I did it. That's sick. That's perverted. You want to talk about some personal sin? That is a personal sin. You've been called to preach and teach the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God under salvation. It's the thing that will save you. Telling folk that, hey, we've got a plan to feed 500 people next week. That's great, but that will not save mankind. And you think that preaching about physical needs is more important than preaching about Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of all faith, who is the one who died for your sins and my sins? Sin has a depravity nature. It is depraved in every way. It distorts power. It, in fact, deceives us to the fact that we are mere fools. Ain't nothing smart about us. You take the smartest person in the world, and if you find sin in their life, and Paul's going to tell you that you will, you're finding a moron. Because if you deliberately do that which the one triune God says you should not do, you are a moron. Joe, just read the next few verses. We got to go. We got to go.
Verse 29.
Read all of them.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Did y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
Y'all got it. So yep. For those of you who are trying to narrow this down to one particular sin and come write me them crazy emails this week about why did you focus on something, Paul says, let me tell you one thing. I'm talking about everybody here. He says, you can't read one of those and not find you. This was written so that it would not hit anybody, any one person. And it was written so that it wouldn't miss any one person. This is us, folk. Because sin has deceived us. Sin has distorted the power that has been given to man. And sin has sent us into a spiral of depravity. That's what it does. Every time you see a cry, someone crying, other than tears of joy, sin. Every time you see a hearse wheel rolling, it's sin. Every time you attend a funeral, every time you hear a sweet poem of someone who's lost, just say sin. Every time you see discourse in the school system, every time you see where segments of society are being excluded, just say sin. Every time you see voting rights trying to be appealed and human rights denied and people denied basics, just say sin. And you realize how deceitful, how distorting, and how depraved it can be. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I cut some of your time out. But if you really want to know more about today, we talked about general revelation, and we talked about hermeneutology. Those are all discussions that we have in basic Christian doctrine. 7 o'clock. Give us a call.